Is it time for recess yet? I'm so glad you found time to join us here on the Child Care Director's Chair, where Erica Sococcio shares her best practices that she's refined through her passion of directing child care centers over the last 23 years. From parenting interaction, systems to save you time, money, and stress, to profitability. She shares it all from the Child Care Director's Chair.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Child Care Director's Chair. I'm your host, Erica Sococcio, and we are so happy that you are here today. Before we hop into today's show, I just want to say we are very, very grateful for our listeners, whether you listen to us on the podcast platform or YouTube. We really do appreciate you, and I'd love to give a shout out to our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, Fort Worth, Texas, Lakeville, Minnesota, Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin, and Providence, Rhode Island, Reseda, California. We love you. And then, of course, our friends up in Canada and Australia. So thank you guys so much for tuning in every single day, day after day. We appreciate your support so much. So today we are going to talk a little bit about the importance of formal training for your child care center and why it's important to invest in management skills to run a successful business or school. And we have a special guest with us today. Our special guest is Professor Leslie Seedy from Rhode Island College. So welcome to our show, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So Leslie, I'm lucky enough to live in Rhode Island, but most of our listeners are outside of Rhode Island. But tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in the field of early childhood education.
Sure. So I started out as a toddler teacher way back in the day when it used to be child development family studies in the home economics department of most colleges and universities. And then like many directors or administrators, I was tapped because I was a good teacher to step into an administrator role. And so at like 22 years of age, I was asked to be a curriculum director at a program in Pennsylvania. And then, you know, subsequently throughout my career, I was then at another child care program here in Rhode Island, where I was again tapped to be the program director. And then our program was bought out by a larger corporation. And so I ended up as a regional manager at one point. And then decided that I was ready to go back into the classroom. And that's what took me to Rhode Island College, where I worked at the lab school teaching kindergarten, and then moved over to the elementary education department and started teaching at the higher ed level and moved on from there. So I've had a little bit of experience in the classroom with children as well as as an administrator.
Yeah, and I think your story probably resonates with so many directors because most folks do come in to that position through way of being a teacher, you know, with somebody who shows a lot of dedication, who's great at what they do. And so it makes sense to then move you up. But then if you don't have the flip side of that, the whole other piece of running a business or running a school, you're sometimes at a disadvantage. For the folks that don't know a lot about me, I came in the opposite way. So I came in with a lot of training around sales, around working, you know, management, working with large teams of people. And so when I moved into the field of early childhood education, or really school age when I first started, I brought so many of those skills with me, and I naturally became administrator pretty quickly, probably quicker than most, because I just had so many of those pieces. So I know that we've had this conversation before of how important it is to have that formal, you know, training or, you know, in the different areas that support a great running program. So today we're going to hop into it, and we're going to discuss why formal training for child care directors in the areas of management, leadership, and business are crucial for running effective centers. It's also a great way to improve staff morale and ultimately provide better care for the children. So Leslie, tell me a little bit about the life lessons that you learned or maybe the disadvantages that you felt you had because you didn't have maybe necessarily management training.
Yeah, so that was one of the hardest things. You know, you learn by trial and error. I was able to take some of my skills from the classroom into working with staff. I knew curriculum, right? So I was great at program director or curriculum, development and supporting my staff in that way. What I didn't have the skills for was more of the business side. And when I became a regional director or manager for five sites for a corporation, I was asked to think about budgeting and marketing and different aspects. That's where I really felt I had the gap. I did end up completing my master's degree at Rhode Island College, and I did an individualized program because I had nothing in place for child care directors. I was with the folks who were going for principal certification, and I took some courses in administration, and then I took courses in early childhood education to further my understanding and knowledge.
Yeah, so I feel like the same happened with me. Although I came with some skills, for sure, I also felt it was really necessary to go take some formalized training. And so then I did the same, and I took courses in leadership and administration, in budget. And I felt like even though you have that real world skill and knowledge, it's always nice to understand why best practice is what's best practice. And then you learn a lot too. Like even with budgets, some programs have to write grants to get funding and others apply for bank loans, right? So you could work at a nonprofit and then go to a for-profit, and that might look very differently. Although the money's coming in, it may look different on how you get it and the paper process in which you might be part of to get that money. So in what ways can investing in a child care management training benefit for the long-term success and sustainability of a child care center?
Yeah. So, through some recent research we've been doing around leadership at Rhode Island College, particularly in our development of some programming, coming to really understand and see the research is tied to this, right? So when you think about leadership, it is tied to the program's quality. So the leadership functions, right? So how can a leader affirm the values, set the goals, be able to articulate a vision, chart a specific course or action plan to get there, and then couple that with the management function. So how do you orchestrate those daily tasks that your staff need to carry out or support staff? And then how do you develop those systems to then carry out that mission that you've developed? And so having a leader who has those skills and that skill set is really crucial. And ultimately, that is tied to stronger child outcome.
Yeah. And I couldn't have paid you for a better segue because, you know, you mentioned management and you mentioned leadership. And so I think it's also really important to understand that those are, although we use them simultaneously, are two very different things. And sometimes you're a really great leader, but maybe not so great in the management or vice versa, right? So right. Sometimes there's one person who, you know, can do it all, but, a perfect example, Steve Jobs, he was great at being a visionary, but maybe not as great with the management part, with the people part. He was just like, I'm going to do my thing and everybody leave me alone, right? So, you know, I think that's where the formal training comes in, where you start to recognize, gee, I'm great at XYZ, but maybe not in this area. Let me either get better skills there or hire somebody who's complementary and who can, you know, fulfill that function in my center. You know, I know for me, like I'm kind of like, I don't know. I want to say I'm like the big picture person. And I'm like, I want to do like 1,000 things at once. I'm like, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And my team's like, okay, roll it back. Right. How are we going to get there? And I'm like, well, I don't know. That's you guys figure that out. That's not... I'm the visionary. Like, this is where you gotta go. You know, so I'm very, intunely aware with maybe the minutiae details are not always my best fit, but getting everybody to be excited about where we're going is something that I just have a great ability to do. So I think, you know, it was that training and it was that deeper understanding as you start to go through the process of what does it really take to run a successful business or center that comes to you, you know?
Right.
But I feel like that was kind of, for me, like one of those self-realizations of, geez, you know, you're not so great at this part.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. You can't always be great at everything. So figure out what you're great at, you know, dig deep on there and then get the supports that you need. Because child care directors, we really do try to juggle 1,000 things at once, right?
Yeah.
And so you can't do everything 100%. So that was, you know, kind of what came out of my bachelor's degree was, okay, here are some things that need to be fixed in our program. Here are some things that are going really well. And then here is kind of what we're going to put on our strategic planning to kind of move us forward. So
fine.
That was, you know, that was something I felt just personally kind of a way that it benefited our program. So what are the potential risks or challenges that child care directors may face if they don't prioritize investing in some type of formalized training or management tools?
So I think that what happens is if you don't prioritize that, you're going to have a leader or somebody in that management position who doesn't have the full skill set that they need. Because as we mentioned, you need both a leader and a manager. You need somebody who can handle the organizational culture. You need somebody who can also address the business side of things, but also the family engagement and staff support and curricular components that you need of a leader in an early childhood program.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that as each year goes on, this is just my personal experience, but as each year goes on, there is more required of us, right? And especially for private centers that are thinking about maybe joining a state-funded pre-K program, now there's more paperwork that you're going to do, not only for the Department of Education, but then also the other components. Now you're adding Teaching Strategies Gold. Now you're adding the food program. There's other components that will continue to add. And so if you don't have the skills to do all of those things or enough people on your team, because you've got to build your team too, this isn't just about you getting formalized training, but also your team members that are coming up through the ranks, because you're going to need help. And the more programs you take on, you've got, you know, your quality rating systems, you've got your regulations, you've got the food program, you've then state-funded pre-K. Because honestly, I feel like most programs, if they're going to be one of two things, they're going to be really boutique and really high-end, like, you know, almost like a private school, or you're going to be connected to state-funded pre-K. There's going to be no way if you service that age group that you're not going to be part of that. So that means you're going to need more skills than ever. You're going to be able, yeah, you're going to be able to need to do more juggling of balls. So I think that will be, for me, I feel like that's a risk, right? Because if you don't have that money coming into your program, you won't have a program.
Right.
Right. That's the only way to say that. What role does ongoing professional development play in career advancement in our field?
So I just sort of what you were talking about, right? So you need to be aware of, first of all, the current research that's happening in the field, both, I think, two-pronged, again, what sort of organizational leadership research, as well as curricular research, what's best for children and families. So you really need those leaders who understand the depth and breadth of the field and are up to date and current. You also need to make sure that you're current and up to date. You were mentioning about funding. So advocacy is really important. So do you understand or are you aware of what are some of the current initiatives that are happening, or where are the gaps and how can we advocate on behalf of children and families? What are some of the things that are coming up before legislation? You know, how active are you in that? So there's a lot you might have those gaps again that really cause a program to not meet the best that it can be.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, when we talk about professional development in our state, we have the workforce competencies and building people up that career lattice, which I hate to say, but I feel like some programs are not always on board with that because they're so afraid to grow their people that they're going to grow them outside of their program. And honestly, I think that's a disservice to the individuals, I hate to say under your care, but under your care. Like if you're their leader, I care about my staff and I need them to grow. And I have found that when people have come to my program, they would say, oh my God, like you really want me to do that? Because at my old job, they didn't even tell us about these things. I'm like, well yeah, I want you to grow, you know? And I think, too, people who are in the field, they need to invest in themselves, like you said, become active, whether it's through advocacy, whether it's through, you know, signing up for courses that your boss doesn't require you to go to,
right,
but ones that, you know, will make you better, because ultimately it will make you better. And a lot of these things, I think, when you're talking about management or leadership, these are transferable skills. So it's not, you know, it's not that you necessarily would, that you always have to use it in that job. Maybe you open your own child care center. Maybe that's your goal, right? Maybe it isn't to stay where you are, or maybe it's you want to move up in where you are now, or maybe you want to move into a different sector, right? So I think that the more training that you have, the more skills you have, the further you can go, because I think too, being more confident, right? And then being more competitive, right? When your application hits somebody's desk, you know, those things matter. So how do you feel like childcare directors can build stronger relationships with either parents, staff, or other stakeholders?
So again, I think that as an administrator, they all have the unique sort of characteristics or needs of each of those different populations. So if you're talking about an administrator developing strong relationships with their staff, again, you have this opportunity to have a ripple effect, and how if you're strong in your instructional leadership, you're supporting your teachers to become more intentional in their setting up the learning environment, creating that child-centered curriculum, and you're using that data to inform your decisions. So if you're supporting your staff to do that, then you're going to have strong outcomes for children. If you have strong relationships with your families, then that circle's going to be more complete, right? So families will be supported, and then they will be supportive of staff in turn. And so it's this symbiotic relationship. But it's also then about that relationship as the, you know, you need to make sure the business is functioning well, right? So if your house isn't in order, right, they oftentimes say there's problems that are going to happen. So when you have these high expectations for your staff, but you also have an emphasis on continuous quality improvement, then you're going to have a strong program all the way around.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think too, what I always valued about, because we've done national accreditation for our school age program, and we've done QRS for our early childhood programs. The outcome was great, but I felt like the process of going through that as a team was even better than the outcome. I bet a lot of people you probably heard this before, that you get to such a point where you go, I don't care what they rate us at this point. We know that we did great, and we know that we put in the work, right? So when you get that kind of synergy from either the leadership, the management, the team, everybody coming together, there's just like an incredible feeling that really, although the paper validates it, you already self-validate the work that you've put in. So I feel like that was something that I learned in that leadership position at my centers. So tell us a little bit about the work that you guys are doing at RIC in terms of putting in some support so that people can get the training that they need.
Right. So, you know, we realize that this isn't a gap. This is our state. You know, we keep going back and forth about a leadership or credentialing for our leaders, but we recognized a gap. And so at Rhode Island College, we've been working on a revision of our master's degree in early childhood education to have an emphasis on leadership and sort of thinking about those different components. So we're in the process right now of revision, and I'm real excited about what we're doing. And our goal is to have this go through final approval process in the fall and have a launch for the spring semester in January. We worked with our partners on a grant over in the School of Business that we developed a management course that looks at early childhood administration from that sort of business level. And we implemented that course this semester as a pilot. It's going very well. We're very excited about it. And that's sort of our jumping off point that we've been using to really think about the development of this leadership master's degree focus.
Will the program be available, or is it available online, or is it in person?
Yeah. So right now, the course that we're running this spring, that pilot course, is a hybrid course. So there's some online components and there's some face-to-face components. Research shows that's really the strongest model, but we also recognize that people are working, right? And so they're busy. So we're looking at which delivery model that we'll use, but more than likely it will be a hybrid. It'll be a mix. And usually it's about 50-50 of face-to-face and online delivery.
Okay. And I love what you said, like, you know, early childhood and business came together. And I think that needs to happen in more places. And I know I've had this conversation quite a few years ago, but I love that it's happening. I love that you guys realize that, you know, this is a gap, as you said, for many, many childcare directors. I think that, so if somebody was outside, because obviously our podcast is national, if somebody's outside of Rhode Island and they were interested in what was going on at RIC, do you see that in the future, that might be an option for folks?
Well, you know, I think that's great. And I didn't realize you were international on your podcast. That's awesome. It is something. And I think we need to really consider that. We did just implement an online asynchronous certification pathway. I think that's a potential. And that's something that I think we need to do some focus groups and research this summer before we implement it. What would be better for the field? Would it be better to have an online asynchronous program where more folks have access to it? Or is it better, as I said, the research does show that face-to-face component is so important. But, you know, there's ways to get around that. So I think we need to figure out what's best for Rhode Island and then decide how can we maybe expand that for others outside of Rhode Island.
Yeah, I think that all sounds great. And I do appreciate, obviously living in Rhode Island, I do appreciate that you are bringing that to our state. So are there any things that you want to add for our listeners that I didn't get to ask you or you think is really important to know?
I just want to give a shout out to the folks, Tanya Glantz in particular, Dr. Glantz at RIC, who is the spearhead in the development with the concentration or the bringing together the business and the early childhood. I think it was really great. It was a grant that she had gone out and we partnered on. I just think that this is an area that is sometimes overlooked in our field, that our focus is rightly so on the children and families, but without a strong program and without strong leadership, as we started the show today, thinking about the connection between the research and that it's so crucial. And we really need to support our administrators and make sure that though we're not taking the best teachers out of the classrooms, right?
Yeah.
If somebody's ready to move into a new role, let's make sure they're well supported. And part of that means that they're not only getting the coaching and mentoring, but they're getting that professional development and specific training and, you know, building their knowledge and skill set as well through some more formalized opportunities for them.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important to use those individual professional development plans to really, you know, build your team and so everybody can continue to do the great work that they're doing. And please leave some of the good teachers in the room. We need them, right? That's where the magic happens in those classrooms. So I'd like to say for our friends that are out there in YouTube land and podcast land, if you love our show, you can now support our show for as little as $3 a month. You can go on to our Buzzsprout link or Apple link, check in the links below. You can be a supporter of our show. We always appreciate that. We appreciate you tuning in every day to hear my chatting about something ECE or school age related or business related. I'm super excited. I'm actually getting on a plane in 12 hours to head out to Atlanta, Georgia to the Jumpstart My Childcare Success Summit with Andrea Dickinson. So I'm super excited about that. And for those of you listening, remember, it's the small details that make a big impact on the success of your childcare business. So that's it for today. And as always, have a great day.
Well, all the cute little kiddos have been picked up and it's time to go home. And that'll do it for another episode of the Child Care Director's Chair. Please leave a review so Erica knows the information is helping you to manage and improve your child care centers. Remember to subscribe to get the latest episode from Erica's Child Care Director's Chair.